You are listening to Long Innings, brought to you by Cricket Next.
Welcome to the Long Innings podcast on Cricket Next. My name is Sheetalan.
On this episode of Long Innings, we take a look at the most exciting fast bowlers in cricket history.
Fast bowling, one gets excited. Not the dibbly-dobbly medium pacers, but genuine fast bowling that makes cricket very exciting. There's nothing better, honestly, to watch in Test or ODI cricket than a good old duel between a top batsman and a top fast bowler. Fast bowling, though, takes a lot out of you. The sheer running in to bowl, the hard landing on the crease, all of this takes a toll on the knees and the ankle, and the motion of hurling the ball as quickly as possible can take a toll on the shoulder and back. And that's just why good fast bowlers are well revered and followed. These are the bad boys of cricket. On this podcast, let's take a look at some of the best of them country-wise. First up, Australia. Dennis Lilly. No better way to start than with the meanest and most hard-working of them all. He not only did his best to outthink the batsmen, but also sledged them too and got into a tiff with them on occasion to get under their skin and distract them. He played 70 tests and took 355 wickets at 23.92, and these do not include the wickets that he got playing unofficial World Series tests. He had a long and consistent bowling action, open-chested and sideways delivery. He had an excellent bouncer and he always bowled at a very brisk pace. He was known for his duels with batsmen like Vivian Richards, Sunny Gavaskar and Javed Miadad, and more often than not, got the better of them. Imran Khan called him the best fast bowler of his generation. Chris Srikant considered him his idol. But perhaps the best compliment he ever got was from fellow fast bowler Richard Hadlee, who said that for him, it was a case of WWLD. To explain in his words, when things are going badly, I often think, what would Lilly do? The answer is, he would not give up. What would Lilly do? WWLD, in case you didn't get it. Well, Lilly's thick mane and big moustache only added to his persona of being a big, mean fast bowler. Jeff Thompson. Lilly formed a great and most feared bowling partnership with Jeff Thompson. If Lilly was intimidating with his theatrics to go with his pace, Thompson would just bowl flat out fast, perhaps the fastest ever to do it. He made his debut in 1972 and played up to 1985, and so began the Lilly-Thompson partnership. They bowled well in tandem, and particularly against England. Thompson himself summed up his whole approach in seven words. I just shuffle in and go whang. Batters who faced him, like Gavaskar, Richards and Lloyd, rate him the fastest bowler they ever faced. Richards played into the 1990s and faced the likes of Waqar and Wasim as well. Glenn McGraw. Until recently, he was the leading wicket taker among the fast bowlers with 563 wickets at 21.6. One of the modern greats, he perhaps was the most accurate bowler of all time, hardly ever making a mistake in his line or length. With him, it was really a test of patience with a batter. He bowled to a plan, not deviating from the line or length that he wished to bowl, eventually leading to the batter making a mistake. He was also very good at the mind games and usually openly declared to target the best batter or captain of the opposition before a series, and more often than not, succeeded. Brett Lee. When he burst on to the scene in 1999 against India, he made many of the Indian batters look totally out of place to handle his kind of pace and took a fiver on debut. Never looked back since and has in fact regularly clocked over the 150 km/h mark. He took 310 wickets in test and a further 380 wickets in only 221 ODI appearances. In fact, he retired quite prematurely from test cricket to prolong his ODI and T20I career. He always strove for pace rather than focus on accuracy, and that is perhaps a reason why he couldn't get to the same league of a Lilly or McGrath. Mitchell Johnson. Now, when Dennis Lilly first saw him as a young man, he reckoned that Johnson was the best bowler he had seen in a generation. He also felt that Johnson would go on and do great things for the country. It took him a while to realize his potential, but he surely did get to do some really cool things. And when he was hot, he was hot. In fact, the 2013-14 Ashes series will forever be known as Johnson's Ashes. He virtually terrorized the Englishmen. They were scared of his pace, scared to face him, and it showed on the field, and they capitulated before him. He took 37 wickets in that series at an average of 13.97. Overall, he took 313 wickets at 28.4. He has also taken the most wickets against South Africa since their readmission into Test cricket. Next up, South Africa. Alan Donald. He was nicknamed White Lightning, which should really tell you how fast he was. His spells, mixed with hostility and accuracy, had batsmen hopping. He got 330 wickets at an average of 22.25. Due to apartheid, he made his debut at the age of 25. Makes us wonder how many more wickets he would have got had he got a few more years of international cricket. He was known for his swinging Yorkers, and his duel against Michael Atherton of England during the 1998 series was one of the most intense ones ever. Sean Pollock. Following in his father Peter's footsteps, Pollock would end up with 421 wickets at 23.11. He was similar to McGrath in that he very seldom missed his line or length or had a bad day in the office. His outside off stump short of a good length delivery was so effective in South African conditions that other bowlers aspired to hit the same length. Dale Steyn. Aptly named Steyngun, he's a very accurate and fast bowler. Recently became the highest wicket taker in tests for South Africa, going past Pollock. He now has 437 wickets as of the 17th of February 2019 at 22.81 apiece. He often bowls in the mid-140s and early 150s, so his pace and accuracy have often taken the conditions and pitch out of the equation, and that is the reason for him being a successful bowler all over the world, be it England, Australia, or even India. Well, most foreign fast bowlers struggle in the subcontinent at times, but he has thrived and done well in India and Bangladesh and has won test matches for his country in both countries with his performance. In fact, he boasts of the best record for any non-Asian fast bowler in Asia. He also has the best average in wins and one of the best strike rates, deliveries that it takes to get a wicket, that is, at 41.2 for every wicket. Let's move on to England then. Fred Truman. The first to take 300 wickets in international cricket, this man was fast and bolstered the England attack in the 1950s onto the 60s. He was as outspoken as he was fiery. He ended with 307 wickets with an average of 21.57. He always played to win and often went into the opposing team dressing rooms before a match, not just to meet and greet, but often to throw down a challenge or rile them up. The key to his success lay in his ability to bowl a good outswinger, which at his pace proved a lethal combination. James Anderson. The all-time leading wicket-taker among fast bowlers, and it may not be long before he overtakes Kumble to take third position overall. He is the master of swing. If there is the slightest hint of it, he will be a handful. Currently, he stands at 575 wickets at 26.9. He has tremendous control, which he banks on while bowling in non-swinging conditions or when trying to hold one end up to build pressure. To go with his swing, he also holds a good line outside the off stump. His persistence, much like McGrath's, usually pays off, and like McGrath, he too makes sure that the batter makes the first error. Let's head over to Pakistan. Pakistan has been known for plucking raw pace bowling talent from the streets and, catapulting them into the international scene. They produced a bucket load of fast bowling talent, and we take a look at four of their best. Imran Khan. Not just an all-rounder par excellence, he was a genuine fast bowler. Someone who started bowling quicker in the later years compared to when he started. It was he who inspired the likes of Waseem, Waqar and Akhtar. His run-up was a smooth gallop and it gave a good indication of the pace that was to follow. He was a natural swinger of the ball and in his later years even mastered reverse swing to become a deadly bowler at any time during a game. He picked up 361 test wickets at an average of 22.81. His legacy is also in the fact that he inspired a generation of Pakistanis to take up fast bowling. Waseem Akram. Easily the best left-arm fast bowler of all time. No one else comes close. If you ask any batter from the late 80s to the early 2000s who was one of the toughest bowler they ever faced, well, there is a good chance that they will name him. Not just fast, but wily as well. He relied on outthinking the batsman, using his array of Yorkers, swingers, in-dippers, bouncers, and field pacing. He had a short run-up in his later years and therefore a whippy kind of an action to generate that pace that we saw. And pace, well, he did generate in abundance. He still is Pakistan's leading wicket-taker in tests with 415 at 23.62. He will always be remembered for getting Alan Lamb and Chris Lewis off consecutive deliveries, coming around the wicket to end England's chances during the 1992 World Cup final. Waqar Yunis. The man who made his debut in the same test as Tendulkar. A genuine fast bowler who was a king of in-swinging Yorkers, the toe crusher as it's also called, and usually delivered it with great accuracy to have the stumps flying all around. Injury in later years, of course, limited his pace, but he was still a very accurate bowler. That said, pace was always his main weapon of destruction. He took 373 wickets at 23.56 and formed a deadly partnership with Wasim Akram. His strike rate was 43.4, only behind Dale Steyn. Shoaib Akhtar. The man with an incredibly long run-up and the aeroplane celebration after taking a wicket. He was fast, intimidating and controversial. Never shy of getting into it with the opposition or with teammates as well on occasion. Controversies and injuries prevented a very long career for him, but he still finished with 178 wickets at 25.69. Brett Lee and him often took turns to deliver the fastest ball of the year when they were playing out their careers in parallel, and Akhtar is one of the very few bowlers to have clocked over 160 kilometers per hour. He is perhaps most famously remembered for getting Dravid and Tendulkar out of consecutive deliveries in the 2000 Kolkata Test match. And with those four from Pakistan, it's time to move over to the West Indies. It's not fair to really pick out only a few from this land of great fast bowlers. I mean, there's Wes Hall, Sylvester Clark, Andy Roberts, Charlie Griffith, Michael Holding, Joel Garner, Colin Croft, Malcolm Marshall, Courtney Walsh, Kirtley Ambrose, Patrick Patterson, Ian Bishop, all of these people to choose from. But if we were to pick the best from these, those would be, let's begin with Malcolm Marshall. Well, not your traditionally tall West Indian, but he was ferocious and quick. He was zippy, which made him difficult to play in all conditions. Like Akram, he's one of those who will always be picked as one of the toughest the batters of his generation have faced. He took 376 wickets at 20.94. He had a vicious and well-directed bouncer to go with the fact that he could swing the ball. This made him a pretty scary proposition to face, and added to that, he liked to rough up the batters. In seven successive series between 1982 and 86, he took 21 wickets or more each time, speaking of his consistency. Michael Holding. Nicknamed Whispering Death by Dickie Bird, because he could seldom hear him go past as he bowled. So smooth was his run-up. It really belied what music the batsman was about to face. He took 249 wickets at 23.68. He bowled very fast and was often thought to be faster than Thompson as well, who was at the time regarded the fastest. Joel Garner. At 6 feet 8 inches, he was the tallest of the West Indians and used his height to unsettle the batsman, as the ball used to shoot up higher than what the batsman expected after pitching. He not only generated more bounce, but also had a very accurate Yorker. Ended with 259 wickets at 29.98. His average in ODIs was less than 20. His 5-for-39 against England in the 1979 World Cup remains the best ever bowling figure for a final. Kirtley Ambrose. Another tall, fast bowler, ending up with 405 wickets at 20.99. Like Garner, his height helped him get extra bounce, making it difficult for batsmen. For much of his playing career, he topped the ICC rankings for bowlers. He was usually mild-mannered, but once he got ruffled, he had it in him to tear through the opposition, as Australia found out in Perth in 1993, when he took 7 wickets for 1 run in a spell. Courtney Walsh. Still the leading West Indian wicket taker with 519 wickets at 24.4 across 17 years of international cricket. He was very consistent with his line and length and relied on a change of pace to outfox batsmen. He was known for his long spells and is one of the few to have bowled over 5,000 overs in international cricket. Honourable mentions, or should we say notable others? Richard Hadlee and Kapil Dev. We've got to mention these two. Known for his smooth run-up and brilliant line and length, he initially was very quick but shortened his run-up in later years. He had a tremendous outswinger, which he used very effectively. Now, what I just said could be used or could apply to either of the two people that I spoke of, Richard Hadlee or Kapil Dev, both with similar wickets. Hadlee 431 and Kapil Dev had 434. Hadlee had an average of 22.29 thanks to the swing-friendly conditions in New Zealand, while Kapil Dev averaged 29.6 for playing many of his tests at home in India in spin-friendly conditions. Kapil Dev also had a mean Yorker, which he used quite well. Both easily regarded as the best fast bowlers that their country has produced. And with that, we come to the end of our list of some of the most exciting fast bowlers in history. If the likes of Trent Bolt, Vernon Philander, Kagiso Rabada, Pat Cummins and Jasprit Bumrah can remain fit to have a long career, they just might get added to this list sometime in the future.
This podcast was brought to you by Cricket Next. Thanks for tuning in.